California at an American Legion Hall. The third World Convention was held in San Jose. The fourth World Convention was held in Anaheim. The fifth World Convention was held in Santa Rosa, California. The sixth World Convention was held in Ventura, California. The seventh World Convention was held in San Francisco. The eighth World Convention was held in Houston, Texas. Some sweet little Southern girl put in a bid. And she got it. It destroyed the Houston Fellowship subsequent to the convention. The ninth World Convention was held in Atlanta, Georgia. The 10th World Convention was held in Wichita, Kansas. The 11th World Convention was held in Miami. The 12th was held in Milwaukee. The 13th was held in New York. The 14th was held in Chicago. The 15th was held in Washington, D.C. The 16th was held in London. And, of course, the 17th was held in New Orleans. We continue to grow. Some real significant things happened around the mid-70s. As a response to all the conflict, this was written. This is the original service structure for Narcotics Anonymous. There were 200 copies of this printed. Interesting concepts here. This basically presents the same structure we're using today. There have been a number of changes. One of the main changes is that every month a group representative would go to an area service committee meeting, and then every quarter the group representative would go to a regional service committee meeting. That was changed early on. There's some other, they're called regional service delegates, but it's basically what we got now. You'll recognize a lot of this. There's some interesting things that come out of this document. Everything that occurs in the course of NA service must be motivated by the desire to more successfully carry the message of recovery to the addict who still suffers. It was for this reason we began this work, so on and so forth. A lot of things you'll recognize come from here. Subsequent to that publication, and that publication was approved by the Board of Trustees, which was the only body at the time capable of doing that, in February of 1976. At that point, Narcotics Anonymous became self-governing, so to speak. In November of 1976, the first World Service Conference was attended. There's been confusion about some things like the southeastern region, the northeastern region. What happened was we took all the known groups, and at this time in 1976, there were about 200. There were two groups in the state of New York, one in Massachusetts, three in Connecticut, 16 in Pennsylvania, one in New Jersey, two in Maryland, one in Ohio, six in whatever state that is. What state is that? Mm-hmm. Right above Ohio? I don't know my geography. Michigan. Three in Indiana, four in Illinois, one in, what's that? Minnesota. 11 in, no, that's Minnesota. One in Wisconsin. One in Iowa, one in North Dakota, two in South Dakota, three in Nebraska, six in Kansas, 11 in Texas, two in Tennessee, seven in Georgia, six in Florida, one in New Mexico, one in Colorado, 10 in Arizona, two in Utah, one in Nevada, one in Idaho, five in Montana. The first major activity that we know of outside of California was held in Montana. believe it or not. There still isn't any there. There is any in Montana, but large distances between towns, let alone meetings. There were four meetings in Washington, three meetings in Oregon, four meetings in Alaska, four meetings in Hawaii, 16 meetings in Australia, same size as Pennsylvania, and 83 meetings in California. And what we did is we plotted all these on a map. And we arbitrarily split the country up for the first conference. That's where a lot of the confusion comes from. Sorry. I was fortunate enough, at that time I was chairman of the Board of Trustees, and I was, having been involved in writing the NH3, I was asked to chair the first conference. In fact, I chaired the first three. It was real interesting. The first thing the conference did was to work on beginning the revision of our service manual, which is still going on. One of the jokes that I don't know if it's quite fair, but it's fun to think about, is we started out with a 3 and we've ended up with 6. There's a copy of the agenda for the First World Service Conference. Basically, the implication of the cover art is now we're a worldwide fellowship and rather than just California. Following that, we started to grow rather significantly. Probably the significant events that began the growth process that I feel began around 1970. Moving the conventions outside of California helped, although it destroyed the community the first convention was held in. NA died in Texas, pretty much, after the World Convention. Particularly the Second World Convention in Georgia. There were a number of people, loners, who attended that convention, who had heard about Narcotics Anonymous, and went home and started groups. And went to Lincoln, Nebraska. There were loners that went home and started groups. Well, we're talking about that later. Another thing that I think affected the beginning of our real growth, which what I see it in the 80s as having be where our growth has started around 1980. 1981 we had about 1,100 meetings. 83, 2,000, 84, 3,000, 85, 4,000, 86, 7,000, 87, pushing 10,000. 88, we're over 10,000, well over 10,000. That's groups, registered groups. Another factor that occurred during that time was we had a structure where we could communicate if we chose to do so. I think that impacted the growth of Narcotics Anonymous. Another thing that impacted the growth of Narcotics Anonymous was people beginning to travel in the late 70s. Another thing that impacted the growth of Narcotics Anonymous was society's view about the addict started changing. I can remember going to start a meeting in 1972 and being turned down by 100 churches before I found a meeting place. 104, 105th church said, okay, we'll give you a 1 month try. And that's the way it was. Dope fiends were not popular. Also, around 1980, which is, I think, another factor for that stimulated the growth. In fact, in 1977, some serious talk was started about writing a book. The talk wasn't new talk. The trustees had talked about it in the 60s. A letter went out to the fellowship, and an outline was written for a basic text called Narcotics Anonymous in 1972. The book is very, the outline is very close to what we ended up with. It wasn't a new idea. It was one of those ideas that hadn't come to term yet. The following 1979, probably the beginning of the literature years, is probably the World Convention in San Francisco in 1979, where a few people got together to seriously attempt one more time to start writing a book. The first product of that, the first World Lit Conference was held in Wichita, Kansas, and it threw up guidelines. In 1980 also, in conjunction with the World Convention that happened in Wichita, there had been some input received, and we all went up to Lincoln, Nebraska with scissors and started cutting and pasting. We made a decision that the outline for the basic text of Narcotics Anonymous would be the white booklet. That all the elements of recovery were contained in the white booklet, and that our job with the basic text was to expand on what we already had. The first product of that effort was what is referred to as the gray form, which is a review and input form manuscript, which led to our book. I cried when I got it. Through a series of a number of literature conferences held in various parts of the country, Lincoln, Nebraska, this came out of the second, the third, that was, Wichita, Kansas was the first, it gave us guidelines. Lincoln was the second. It gave us, a cut and paste. Memphis was the third. It gave us the gray form. Santa Monica was the fourth. And we edited that. And some people feel that the results of that were the best the book has ever been. However, they were stolen. Or lost, and never made it to the next literature conference in Warren, Ohio. We start over again. Well, partially, the final drafts had been lost. Some of the intermediate work still existed. The prayers that had been written in Santa Monica, the extensive editing that had been done of the gray form, the final drafts disappeared. Warren, Miami, and back to Memphis, we came out with this, which was the approval form of our basic text, Narcotics Anonymous. Also, it came out at the same time as what is called a storybook. I didn't bring one of those, but they were the proposed stories for our basic text. The date on this is, I thought it was November 1981. The basic text was approved at the World Service Conference in 1982. The first copies of it, in order to finance the printing, was decided that we would pre-sell a special numbered first edition of the basic text. They sold for $25 a piece. They have brought as much as $1,500 as fundraisers recently. They sold 2,500 of them. And they made it, went the first time. There were 2,500, there were about 2,000 gray forms printed. there were about, I'm not sure how many of these, but there were 4 million bootlegs. $2,500 of these first editions. Also, the regular first edition had a blue cover. There were $2,500 of those printed. And we've tinkered with that ever since, too. The controversy that came out at the time is that these aren't the same. Two lines were removed from this, the printing of this. The lines are in the explanation on the traditions. You remember what they are offhand, Jim? I have to find them. All else is not NA. Which is referring that the service structure is not Narcotics Anonymous. Tradition 9?
Tradition 9.
No service board of committees, and that no service board of committees should ever rule, censor, dictate, or decide. There was a little controversy over that. The result was the second edition, which was identical to this. Okay. And that pretty much brings us to where we are. You know, there's tales to tell, there's stories to tell, there's a ton of stuff to tell. The overall picture of our growth is in the 50s and the 40s, there were attempts to start NA. I honestly believe that during that time frame, many times people, different places, tried to start fellowships rather unsuccessfully or semi-successfully, short-lived. Including Narcotics Anonymous, as we know it. The real consistency dates from either December 1959 or January of 1960. The 60s were a period where we poured a foundation, where we established ourselves, where we proved we could last a year or two, that a meeting didn't have to fold once it was open, that we could grow, and we grew in that time period from one meeting 20 meetings in the 60s. The 70s were a time of really laying the groundwork of building the structure for Narcotics Anonymous, the beginnings of a lot of things. Many local fellowships, first meetings were begun in the around 1970, but that was made possible by things that were happening in 1970. The first really moving out, the beginnings of communication, the beginnings of travel. The 80s so far have been an explosion, proving that once we got going, there's been no holding us back. Where we go from here, I don't know. Some people are worried about terrible things happening in Narcotics Anonymous. I'm not. Because as long as I'm alive, NA will live. And as long as you're alive, NA will live. Meetings may open, meetings may close. Perhaps this period we're in now is the spreading of NA beyond the continental United States. Certainly that's begun. It's real exciting. We're all pioneers. Every time we put something down in writing, we start talking and growing, and there becomes a verbal tradition beyond the written tradition or the written conscience. That happened with the white booklet. That's what led to the basic text. 1981, this is the best we had. It's obsolete. We as a fellowship have a deeper and more and a stronger awareness of our principles today than we had in 1981. Our concepts about the steps and how we relate to one another in the tradition have evolved significantly since 1981. But evolution is still going on, and we're all pioneers. We can change the world. Thank you. The World Lit conferences?
I know that they met this at the time. There couldn't have more.
One member. One or two.
Anyway, yeah. How do you decide on the
location? Arbitrarily.
Yeah, Mike on that. I just wanted to back you up earlier when you were talking about Jamie Harris and I wanted to know if that was...
No, that's just a mistake. I was elected GFR for the Monday Night Architects of Diversity group. Moore Park, Studio City, California. The group was started in January of 1960. When I had 2 months clean, I had to wait a month to take office. Jimmy was originally from Philadelphia, I believe. He was born in Scotland and immigrated to the United States and lived in the East for a while. He was using.
What year and where was the first location of the meeting?
I don't know. Rochester. No, Lynn moved to California. There are about 12,000 registered groups. Bob Stone could probably give you a better estimate today. I don't care which. There were a lot of relapses and everybody else went back AA. There wasn't much of a fellowship there. There was this sweet young thing who put in a token bid. Now wait, they're really interesting. There was a lot of controversy still going on in California at that time between Northern and Southern California. And a lot of the convention had moved back and forth from Southern California to Northern California to Southern California to Northern California. And this sweet young thing came to, along with some other people, came to San Francisco. They put in this bid. Part of the reason it went to Houston was behind that war. In the following year, the World Convention lost a lot of money and almost wrecked the fellowship, like several thousand dollars. The Wichita Convention, the third, held out of California. Oh, by the way, the first one in Houston, there were about 500 people there, about 350 from California. I don't know all the details, but the meeting's giant. There may have only been 3 or 4 meetings in Houston. I don't know if I would, if it were occurring today, I don't know if many of us would call it a Narcotics Anonymous convention.
There were people from your town came to Atlanta.
Yes, few. Yeah.
What year were
The traditions, according to a chronography of another fellowship, were written in 1946. It's my understanding that the traditions were utilized at the beginning of Narcotics Anonymous. We have never been traditional.
I'm just curious about that Narcotics Anonymous. It's mentioned plenty of jobs in my hand. It's mentioned in the Junkie Priest book where it talks about a girl celebrating a 2-year anniversary.
That's what it is. There are other things in here. That's that Salvation Army attempt. Got some things here from the Salvation Army archives in Cleveland, Ohio, that was the source of this material about Narcotics Anonymous. The Drumbeat, which is a Salvation Army Harbor Light Center newsletter, mentions congratulations to members of Narcotics Anonymous for the publication of their first newsletter. Here is a newspaper article dated April 24th, 1965. About Major and then later Brigadier Dorothy Berry and her starting back in 1947 when she provided a meeting place for the group of Narcotics Anonymous. One of the great helps to addicts is Narcotics Anonymous. Brigadier Berry has worked with NA since it first started back in 1947, providing a meeting place for the group in a room at the Manhattan Men's Social Service Center. Since then, she has attended hundreds of their meetings, sometimes visiting a parents' group the same evening. Parents' groups known as CMCNA, so on and so forth.
None of those groups are people who came into Narcotics Anonymous, as we know it today.
The existence of the Eastern Narcotics Anonymous has never been a secret, to my knowledge, in the NA I came into in California. I knew that existed and heard the name Danny Carlson early on in my recovery. There was a fellowship, this is basically talking about a fellowship that existed in Cleveland from November of 63 until 1965 and then died out. This is part of that whole thing tied in with the Salvation Army. It seems like N.A. was at that time was a pet project of this Major Berry and Ray Lopez and Daniel Carlson. I don't know quite what their relationship. They worked together to get hospitals in New York City to admit addicts, particularly female heroin addicts. And to my knowledge, there is no evidence that any of that survived into N.A. as we know it today. There is some talk that there are individuals still alive who are aware of it, or part of it. Certainly Dan Egan was a speaker at the New York World Convention. So there is some... There is some remnants of that still that exist today. The question comes up of how was there much knowledge back and forth. I really don't know how much there was. Certainly we knew about this other Narcotics Anonymous in California. It's clear that it died out. That's been confirmed fairly well. There have been strange things. I don't think I brought it with me. There's a newsletter that came out of Agoura Federal Penitentiary in Louisiana in the late 60s of the Narcotics Anonymous. There are remnants in the prison systems of AANA and things like that. There were up until recent years. There's a wonderful newsletter that comes out of Louisiana early. We don't really know much about it. To my knowledge, there was no direct relationship between was started directly out of Southern California, Alcoholics Anonymous, and this Salvation Army project, if you will, in the East.
Another question I got. I hear a lot of tales about, you know, like the tremendous struggle to put the basic facts together and people fell in their blood and, you know, and people sleeping on the beach that couldn't feed themselves in California. Did you experience that?
It wasn't quite that bad. I'll show you some things. Pages, of this gray form, pages 87 through 131, I think, isn't it? No. Through 117 were dictated over the telephone in a 9-hour phone conversation cross country. A member. Certainly there are members who destroyed their family relationships. There are certainly members who ate up businesses involved in that, but it wasn't quite starving, sleeping on the beach.
Hi, I'm Andrew
Manatt.
Hi, Andrew.
1947. At the Manhattan Men's Social Service Center. Of course, that wasn't Narcotics Anonymous as we know it. I don't have a lot of information that I can document. I have some at home about individual local fellowships and their founding. There's that list, 72 list of known NA meetings. There are no meetings on that list outside of California, and perhaps one in Pennsylvania that survived. The storybook. I'm assuming this book's come to Pennsylvania.
Ivyland.
Okay, Ivyland. Yeah. Was the stories were put together here in Pennsylvania. The storybook comes from a single workshop that was held here. December of 81.
I'm an addict
on there. Okay.
Who are the co-founders of Narcotics Anonymous? Are they still alive, and if they are, where and whereabouts?
We have no co-founders. There was a committee of six, including Jimmy Kinnon, Gilda Krause, Paul Rosenbluth, Steve Ryan, Frank Carnahan, and Doris Carnahan, all of whom resigned. There were 17 people in attendance at the first meeting. We do not have co-founders.
Are there any of them alive?
No.
Again. How many people were involved in putting together the forms of our basic text?
Most of them were concerned members. By that time, we had a World Service Conference Literature Committee. And there were members of that. And, you know, that was sort of a member when you say you're a member system. These were open conferences. People would travel from conference to conference some. People would come cross country. I rode a bus from Oregon to Pittsburgh to attend the one in Warren and speak at the second East Coast in Trenton. That isn't that unusual a story. You know, just members. Some were trustee members, some were, you know, all different kinds of members. I'm sure that's happened a number of times. The last episode I know of that actually happened in Texas. Where I think it was in West Texas in the since 1980. We had the locals ride by the meeting place in pickup trucks with 30-odd fixers firing into the meeting. I'm sure that's happened. Huh? I've been at any meeting where someone was shot behind a relationship.
I came up with the we and the
dictate. Okay, those come from let me look at the steps in this first publication, 1963. I'm pretty sure they're the same as we use today. We admit we were powerless over our addiction. They had the we's in 1956. I don't know how many people were involved in putting this together. I don't have any documentation on that. I assume it was a fairly small group of people, probably very few of the people on the list. Yes.
I got my idea. What did you say at the bottom of the list that we didn't
have a name?
What is the bottom line?
There's a reference in our current literature to Alcoholics Anonymous, which is something that we were asked to do subsequent to the, I think it was in the third edition of the Basic Text, where that first appeared, that we were, they reviewed the permission given to Narcotics Anonymous to use to adapt steps and conditions, and they wanted us to put that on our literature. And since they were the owners of that material, we complied. Been here as long as I've been here.
One of the things I was curious about, being a graduate of the TC that graduated with drinking privileges, do you think that in New York the fact that there were a lot of therapeutic communities had anything to do with the fact that the fellowship took so long to get started there?
Certainly, there were a global resistance to Narcotics Anonymous based in some of the larger, more profitable therapeutic communities. The story, you know, what appears to be one of the primary reasons it took so long for NA to get started, and this is really kind of answering your question that I didn't get to, were the Rockefeller laws that, I mean, some of you are on parole and can't really be here. Can't associate with known felons, and there are a number of known felons in this room. And those of us that aren't known felons are unknown felons. Those laws were strictly enforced for a number of years, and that was the excuse. That's what's usually pointed at as the reason it took so long for NA to get started in New York City. There also seemed to be a lot of, and this is really kind of rumor sort of stuff. I don't have any documentation on that. there has been some thoughts expressed that in the later years of this other Narcotics Anonymous, they didn't have a very good reputation. And part of the reason that our meetings would get busted every time they were started was a carryover from this previous Narcotics Anonymous. I don't know if that's really true or not, but I've been led to believe that that's possible.
Yes. Do you
ever think you'd be kind of like this? Yes. In fact, one of the dreams that was talked about, I think at the first World Convention, was that someday we'd fill the Astrodome. Okay. Any more questions? No, that changed in, I believe that the term regional service representative came out in the blue service manual, which would have been 79. I don't know. One of the thoughts behind it was consistency of terms. Everything else was a representative. Why were we talking about a delegate? You know, one of the things that I feel real strongly about, and part of it may be my own frustration, having been involved in designing the structure initially. Because we've been fucking with it ever since. We never tried it the way it was written. Sorry. That might be my shit. Yeah.
Has there been a more thorough history?
This is as good as it gets.